swords with handle art to spar trolls and charge tolls to cross roads where bandits are. Catacombs and giant doors protect the chest that stores some legendary items with the dragon bones and iron.
It's ore. A grand theft of Elder Scrolls, Simon's Quest with Toe and Earl, rocket shoes to Everclue, Easter eggs and gaming news. The POTUS need some bad dudes to crash your crew like Bandicoot. All shit a gaming and glitch control issues. Control issues.
Yes, yes, y'all.
Yes, y'all. Yes, y'all.
Yes, y'all. Well, this is Control Issues. I am the AMC.
And this is A-Dub. You can find us at control-issues.com. That dash is a hyphen. You can also head on over to your podcast provider, whoever that may be. Look for Control Issues. Download it. Subscribe to it. Rate it. Review it. You can also find your boys on Spotify. So get at it. Go to X. My Control Issues is the handle. And you can also mosey on over to twitch.tv/controlissuespod, where we put up gameplay videos for your viewing pleasure. Lastly, feel free to drop us a line, a comment, a remark, a kind word at, what is it? controlissuespod@gmail.com. So a little more on that a little later. But AMC, how you living?
I'm doing well, A-Dub. Yeah, we took a week off, your boy. So 2 weeks ago, or at least last episode we recorded, I had mentioned that I was getting a sore throat, but I wanted to power through because we had just had to take another week off due to a loss in the family. So, yeah, things progressed in the worst way possible and ended up getting, you know, just full-on chest congestion, coughing up shit, just everything. So, yeah, it was pretty bad. I had to skip last week to recover. And yeah, now I'm back doing well. Got in my first workout in about like over a week. So that was nice. I'm getting that strength back now to want to move my body. So that's good. And you know, hanging out with the family, trying to catch up on shit. Kids staying up late, daylight savings fucking up things.
Yeah.
Kids don't want to go to sleep. Kids want to wake up later.
Jumping in the crib.
Yeah, like I can take the waking up later. It's the wanting to stay up later is the problem, because that cuts into my, you know, hanging out with Marissa and watching shows and catching up on stuff. I'm trying to watch Attack on Titan, though.
Yes,
but I can't.
Are you at the finale?
Yeah, exactly. So we're trying to bang that out. Yeah, so doing that, just enjoying stuff, enjoying life, getting food, working out, you know how it is. A-Dub, how you been?
Quite a bit of the same. You know, things are a little tenuous at work. You know, there's a lot of activity, a lot of meetings that I'm not in. You know, some unfortunate terminations. And so, you know, just going through that period at the workplace, just trying to keep my head down, keep my work tight, and prove myself to be an asset to the company. But, you know, other than that, just chilling, you know, enjoying this kind of in-between weather. It's between when it was really cold and rainy and when it's going to ultimately be hot for, like, the rest of the year. And, you know, just taking it one day at a time, getting a little more frugal, getting on top of my finances, and, you know, so it all goes hand in hand. You know, I'm trying to build up an emergency fund just in case. Yeah, dude, I need to work out more. I'm getting better on my eating, cooking more omelets, saving more money. Yeah, and that's about that. It's just same old life grind, trying to going out somewhat regularly again. I think like I'm every other weekend I'm going out, but I'm trying to get back up to like every weekend. Gotta keep yourself on the board. You gotta spread yourself just a little thin. You need some coverage. So get back into socializing, try not to be a complete shut in. Yeah, I think I'm doing all right for myself.
Hell yeah. Well, you know, on those every other weeks when you ain't getting out and you staying home and you gaming, what you been gaming on, Ada?
You know what I've been gaming. No,
Mm-hmm.
quite a bit of stuff has been going down. Of course, been playing the hell out of Overwatch, me and he's single. AMC getting in there on some of these games too. So that's always a great time. We're in season 9, and much to my I don't even know what the word would be here. Much to my enjoyment, or much to my pleasure, they finally put out the Cowboy Bebop skin pack. Oh, I've been waiting, been speculating. If you heard on one of the previous shows, we were talking, and you know what? We weren't too far off with our predictions. I know that we were like, yeah, of course you got to have Cassidy be Spike Spiegel. I was like, you could do Junkrat as Ed, but you could also get away with doing a Sombra. We were like, D.Va should be Faye Valentine, but you know, I imagine it could, you know, do like a Ashe as a Julia, or maybe they would do her as Faye, but I don't know how they pull that off. Well, we got the skins, and some of them line up with our expectations. Others are pleasant surprises that delight and intrigue. First surprise was that they chose MAGA as Jet Black. So I was like, what? Using this all the time. They even got it to the point where the Gatling guns are basically bebops. So he's got a bebop on each arm. It's great. And they got that Sombra as Ed. So that makes sense given the hacking and computer-oriented similarities that the characters have. It's a great looking skin. Even got the Ed March where I don't know what that character is, but kicking the legs out, throwing the arms up, real exaggerated like. So they got that walk in there. Ashe, of course, is Faye Valentine with Bob getting a makeover that looks somewhat like her spaceship. So that's pretty cool. And what is the other one? I said Sombra, Ashe, Jet Black, Spike. I like Spike because I didn't expect what they would do with the weapons. So I told you that the Jet Black MAGA, he has the bebops as the Gatling guns. Spike has the swordfish as the pistol. So that's pretty dope. And then I also saw that they did like a kind of a color tie-in with the mechanical arm that's Cassidy's, but it's like the same color palette as Spike's shirt and tie with the little hints of his suit and the ship to kind of roll everything together. And then lastly is the free skin you earn by completing the Cowboy Bebop challenges. And then you get Hamster as Ayn. That's another one we call. So yes, dude. And the skins, I didn't hesitate. I bought my gold, paid, put the credit card down, got the whole pack, got all the goodies, all the name cards, all the player icons, all the emotes, all that stuff. So I'm bebopped out. I got all the characters with the bebop skins equipped on the bebop skins. Your boy been playing Sombra AMC, and I kind of get it. I'm having a blast out there, throwing that transponder, going invisible, just hacking people, getting in that back line, just bothering them. I think I'm gonna start doing like little things to mess with people, like purposely run close to them to reveal myself. Just be like, get them to chase me, get them thinking, oh man. And of course, just keeping my MAGA game tight. The game's been outstanding, especially with the skins. Oh, pay to win. But I've been, yeah, man, it's a blast. We're getting good games, but then we also keep running into those strings of people who either, you know, don't want to be in the game they're in, just a lot of leaving. I think we even had a game where our entire team left and was replaced, and then I think we still won. But like people leaving, then there's also the people who just don't want to play. The people who start talking about like, oh, it's just quick play. The people who spent like took the time and the effort to turn on the game, to get in a match, to not do their part. I can't stand these people. I wish they would go away. But Overwatch is a blast. Just never anything bad to say about that. Love all the new tweaks. And the game just keeps getting tighter. Also been playing quite a bit of Diablo 4. So that's two games with battle passes that I just finished the Overwatch battle pass. and I'm about two levels away from finishing the Diablo Battle Pass. So that'll complete the season of live service games for me. I've been playing Helldivers, and since those battle passes can be unlocked at your leisure, it's no big deal. They just added a third one. Been playing ever since the players liberated the chosen planet, and then we got the mechs. So I got that in my loadout. They introduced that new war bond, which is the battle pass. It's got new weapons, new armor, and the developer has just been making little changes that they don't say things about. Like, for instance, apparently there are flying enemies now, but we'll get a little more on that later. I haven't seen them myself, so I gotta get back in there. But yeah, Helldivers remains awesome. Getting down with Grimes, getting down with E-Single, trying to get your boy Knees on it. That'll be interesting. What else? Been playing the Living Daylights out of Pacific Drive. And I don't know if I talked about it before on the show, but Pacific Drive is the game where you have the station wagon that you customize in an outfit and to survive the weirdness that's going down in this Pacific Northwest region where the game takes place. There's not like enemies or combat or anything, but there are anomalies that have weird effects and tendencies that complicate your ability to navigate the map. You also have to deal with all kinds of car-related hazards, like just maintaining all your parts and swapping and upgrading things, managing inventory, your fuel, and little quirks and things that the vehicle might pick up along the way, navigating terrain. Got to change your tires, got to have different parts to resist different kinds of hazards. It's a very interesting, very well thought out game. It's absolutely gorgeous once you get all the mechanics under control and you can finally just sit down and like, damn, I'm just dipping down this road in the rain, falling sideways, like I'm driving off a cliff and sliding and avoiding trees and trying to gather resources and lightning, getting chased by storms. It's a very difficult game to describe, but if you're just into those weird kind of mysterious games that don't really explain themselves yet, if you pay close enough attention, they'll unveil everything to you. This is that kind of title. So I'm absolutely loving Pacific Rim. I'm at a good place with my car. I'm getting close to the furthest region on the map. So I think I might be getting close story-wise to the end. I'm gonna keep pushing that. Like I'm almost to the tip of all the upgrade trees. So I imagine things are coming to a conclusion. I'll try to stream a bit more of that on twitch.tv/controllersusepod. See, Diablo, Pacific Drive, Helldivers, Overwatch. That's about it. I've been dabbling in Kakarot since the last time I played. I've completed the Frieza saga, so the fam is back on Earth. I'm in that little intermission period where Gohan's running around doing side missions, and you can play as whoever you want. But just went through that whole Namek saga that whooped Frieza's ass. It felt so good. Knowing the story, but then just playing it just feels so much better. And it's kind of bittersweet because recently we got news about the passing of Akira Toriyama. So it just happy little coincidences that about shortly before he passed, I finally started Kakarot and was just enjoying it. It's one of the greatest experiences I've had in a while. Just what I've never felt nostalgia stronger than playing Kakarot, and it's very unfortunate that we lost the icon and the visionary that is Akira Toriyama. But we have his impact and we have his work, which includes the upcoming Sandland that's going to be releasing in April. Hopefully, this news of his passing will help stimulate the financial performance of that game. Hopefully people show a lot of love. There are people all over the world getting together and doing like group spirit bombs everything in his honor. Lots of art coming out of the art community in memory of his passing. So that's you take the good with the bad. But AMC, what have you been playing?
I
Excuse
have
my
been putting,
echo.
I've been playing, let's see, I'll start off with Overwatch. Yeah, I played a little bit of that this week.
Yes.
Some solo, some with you guys, enjoying it. putting in that work with Mercy and Lucio mainly right now, mixing in Ilari every now and then, just mixing in some other characters, because there's playing as Mercy and it's definitely open season on Mercy. Like I feel like at least like when it comes to when there's like a Sombra, Tracer hasn't been giving me as many issues as she used to lately, but Sombra is the one that's still giving me issues. Like if I'm Mercy, I know that hack is coming at any point. It's just a matter of like trying to get in the right position. So it's like, it's been my like latest thing to like focus on is not necessarily having to make the adjustment just because the Sombra decided to focus on me. So just trying to survive with Mercy as much as I can, but if not, then I switch to Lucio and then Sombra can't do anything. So that's my current thing right now, but I want to be able to play with Mercy, even if there's a Sombra trying to focus on me on other teams. So that's like kind of the focus right now when it comes to that. Enjoying it. Really like the skins. There was definitely a lot of speculation with how this was going to work. And I really liked it because they pretty much just took the straight up, like, character models, like as far as like facials and everything. Like, you know, I thought like maybe you get like kind of like if it was Maga, you get Maga's face, but he's just wearing like the jet black costume, shit like that. Doom, if it was like Doomfist, same thing. But like
got a ball cap on.
Yeah, but it's the straight up character, which is great because it gives me hope for the, and if they continue to do these crossovers, especially anime influence crossovers, like if they do the My Hero, like I'll ideally just be playing as the My Hero character. So there's some really fun things that they could do there, knowing that they're going to be kind of true to the actual like character models, as opposed to doing a big hybrid of so that it just looks like the same Overwatch character, but you know, with different clothes on. So yeah, I really like that. That was promising. It was also kind of nice. I'm sure people spoke out about it, but I didn't see the articles when I at least Googled it and it came to the Cowboy Bebop and, you know, either not liking how they looked or, you know, the price of the skins. I didn't see a lot of that. So maybe we were conditioned.
Didn't see any articles about, oh, Blizzard's charging us.
Yeah, exactly. Like the first articles I saw when they at least revealed how the skins looked were all positive. Like people, I even saw some where they were like, I was kind of iffy on Overwatch, but after seeing this, this is getting me back into the game articles. So that's nice. And then, yeah, I just saw one article that said like skins cost $25 each and that was it. But it wasn't like outrageous Blizzard charges fans nickel and diamond, none of that. So that was nice.
Greedy Blizzard wants money for free to play game.
Yeah, for pay to win game.
And your firstborn.
Yeah, so that was nice. That was nice to see that. And enjoyed playing Overwatch this week. Also played some Midnight Suns. Put a little more work in with Wanda. Building out that deck, pushing forward. Got a little action with your boy Ghost Rider. It's a fun game. Not going to say too much there, but fun game. And then played Super Mario Wonder. That game is awesome. So at this point right now, where we're at, we're pushing through. We got to what seems to be the final world. It's World 6. And how Super Mario Wonder works in a lot of Nintendo games in general. Because you look at them, you're playing them. If you were to just pick up a Nintendo game and play like a couple like levels, you'll think, this is like some kid shit. This shit's too easy. But you have to forget, like always remember that those games always have a difficulty spike if you want to do the like completionist route with them. And so with Super Mario Wonder, we're on the final world. And one of the things that they do in this game is each level, after you beat a world, you unlock a level. After you beat a world, you unlock a level on a special world. And these levels are max difficulty. They have like difficulty ratings for each level. And all of them have max difficulty ratings. Tough as shit, but they're fun. And so, yeah, we went back because we were just pushing through the games. So we went back and we started playing all those special world levels. And just really enjoying that. Marissa and I just, you know, you have to play them about like, you know, 6 to maybe 10 times, who knows. Learn the level. Once you learn the level, then you got to get down the execution. Once you perfect the execution, then you beat the level and you feel great. And so, yeah, it's just been that cycle. It's been awesome. Got that challenge in there. And we push forward enough where now we're going back to World 6 to push through the last bit of the game to unlock that final, I guess, special level, which will then unlock another, I guess, special part to that special world, which I'm guessing is more levels or, you know, some type of cool unlock, maybe a new character or something. And like one game they gave, like Rosalina became available after you did that completionist route. One of the games, like you get like a super Saiyan style Mario thing going on. I think this was in the Super Mario Odyssey. No, this was in the port to Super Mario 3D World. It had a Bowser's, I think, Fury expansion that was added. And at the end, when you're completing it, you're like in fucking Super Saiyan mode as Mario. It's awesome. So, yeah.
Mario.
Yeah, just loving games. And yeah, as you said, really unfortunate to hear the loss of Akira Toriyama. But he influenced so many people in a way that, you know, you can't really describe. Definitely for me, it was one of those things like he, you know, when certain like people's work informs your lives, you kind of take it to heart. And, you know, like in general, video games has been like a big thing to me, but then Dragon Ball Z was kind of my gateway into anime, which then like just sprung into this whole like love of this entire genre. And yeah, Dragon Ball Z was my introduction. I just remember like getting home from school, like watching episodes when I could. When I finally got a VCR recording episodes off of was it Toonami, and mm-hmm. I'm watching those shits, watching them out of order, trying to watch them in order later. It'd be dope, like, especially because we were getting them shits late, and I just remember like you just be watching and all of a sudden they'd be like, we got new episodes, and it's like the Freezes, mm-hmm. not the Freezes, like you've got the Trunks saga, yeah. And then like the Android saga, and then like, yeah, you just like the Cell saga, and it'd just be dope because every time they drop those, it'd be like, what? And you're kind of like, for me at least, I'm learning about the whole genre as I'm watching it, learning about this new stuff. So then there's like, out of nowhere, they're just like, oh, we're also airing Tree of Might and like these Dragon Ball Z movies. And it's like, why? What is this? And then, you know, just you go down the rabbit hole. Next thing you know, I'm watching all the Dragon Balls. I'm playing Dragon Ball Z ROMs of games that never came out in the US. And then next thing you know, yeah, I'm watching Yu Yu Hakusho and all those other shows. And it's, yeah, it's just Dragon Ball Z did so much. It's still so unique in its own way as far as like the power-ups and just the overpowered energy bursting from the dudes, like the combat oriented like nature of it, like it was just it does so many things that feel similar when you're watching other animes and yet is nothing like any other anime, and they just did it so well. And you know, he was the man. So really unfortunate, but we love your shit and we'll continue to honor it. So A-Dub, with that said, let's get into these topics of the week.
Topics of the week.
I also play Live, but yeah, let's keep it moving.
Nice.
Yeah, you want to lead us off, A-Dub, with the first topic of the week.
Topic of the week. Well, I already told you guys about Helldivers 2 adding the new premium war bond. This one is known as Cutting Edge. So let's see. Of course, just like the other premium war bond, you're going to have to pay 1,000 super credits, which can be earned for free in the game. So you don't have to pay for it unless you want to and feel the developers deserve it, because you could do that too. Helldivers 2, Cutting Edge War Bond contents. The EX series prototypes, EX3, Prototype 3. This includes a rubber underlayer for insulation. Handy, really, as this prototype's wires operate at a shocking 400,000 volts. So this sounds like armor. No, there's something electric arc generates a strong magnetic field. Let me see if I can find actual telling me what this shit is. Okay, we're getting the expanded arsenal LAS-16 sickle. It's a sweet laser rifle that fires in short bursts. Doesn't need reloading. Just watch for overheating or shove a new heat sink in there. Getting the Punisher plasma. The Punisher is a shotgun, but this variant is going to have exploding plasma rounds. Yes. These are deadly to aliens and allies, of course. This modified Punisher shotgun is as fun as it is fearsome. We're also getting the Blitzer. This projects an arc of close range lightning, or you can charge it up to fire off powerful bolts. Sounds like something that Winston would have in Overwatch. Good for taking out multiple targets and giving you more time to pick a celebration emote. That's right. And you can unlock a new stun grenade, the G23 stun, and the LAS-7 dagger pistol. So that's going to be a laser pistol. There's going to be new capes, new boosters, new armors, and I believe they finally have the armor stats and abilities working, so you can actually get some use and some benefit out of that. AMC, is any of this doing anything to get you on the Helldivers bandwagon?
No, but it's awesome. I like to see that there's some updates coming. It was funny, like I didn't read this story, but I saw just like an article, and it's like Helldiver dev, like people report flying bugs, and Helldiver devs respond by saying like this is alien propaganda. Like so, but yeah, like they're like so like they don't break kayfabe as far as like their world and like the war that's going on. So any type of community interaction is filtered through the lens of you're in this war and you're all soldiers or whatever within this conflict. So you're not talking to the dev, you're talking to I have no idea
You're
what they
talking to the
do.
president of Super Earth.
Yeah, the presidents of Super Earth. So yeah, it's absolutely awesome whenever I see like highlights of or at least articles updates with this game and the rhetoric around it. I'm glad that people are still enjoying it. Game looks absolutely awesome. And it's sparked a lot of conversation, we'll say, when it comes to exclusivity because of the success of this game. But yeah, not enough to get me into it.
Well, to go back to the flying bugs note, because that's another little quick hit. People have been reporting seeing flying bugs in the game, and the CEO of Arrowhead Studios, the developers of Helldivers 2, CEO and Helldivers 2 creative director, that he got into the fray to assure people what they're seeing isn't real. The tweet says, "I've heard rumors of flying bugs in Helldivers 2. I want to officially refute such preposterous claims. Everyone knows that bugs can't fly, and I'm not alone in thinking this. The Ministry of Truth agrees that this is propaganda from bug
There we
sympathizers.
go.
It's propaganda from bug sympathizers that want to brainwash good people. Hashtag lies." I mean, that this refutation is going up against the actual video and photographs of what's going on. I tried to play some Helldivers 2 in e-single last night, but for as much of the game as they fixed, there's still some issues. I wasn't able to get onto his ship and join his party, so we ended up playing Overwatch. But I'm very anxious to see what these flying insects are going to be bringing to the table. But I'll have to do that little venture on my own, since I can't take the AMC to the front line with me. But let's get into the next topic of the week. Topic of the
Of the
week.
week. This one, A Dub, is an update to Sea of Stars, A Dub.
Oh,
So
I still need to start that.
this comes straight from Sabotage Studios, their website. This is a post. Let's see. The acclaimed turn-based RPG Sea of Stars has surpassed a milestone, 5 million players this month. And in celebration,
Really?
developer and publisher Sabotage Studio released a teaser of a new mode coming to the game, A Dub.
Yes.
That is three player co-op, couch co-op.
What?
Yeah, let's see. Dubbed single player plus. I love it. So not new game plus, single player plus. This mode allows three players to journey together in Sea of Stars, staying true to the game's core turn-based roots. Each player will engage in traversal and combat with a new co-op timed hits with a new co-op time hits mechanic as they embark on it with friends on Sea of Stars' grand adventure. The new mode is currently in development, and more details are set to be released. That's all I got there. A-Dub, what do you think about this turn-based, retro-influenced RPG getting a couch co-op for three players to sit down and all run around that world in? And that's kind of cool, having a It's a time mechanic, so it's like you each take turns, I guess, but you only get a certain amount of time to decide what your
Ooh,
character is going to do. So
I
what do you think
like
about
that.
this addition, A-Dub?
Well, I mean, just from my personal experience, it's not really going to add anything because I'm over here single playing it, no plus, single player minus. But, does it get A-Dub, I mean, AMC and Marissa? Who counts go on? That might be crazy. I don't know. Hey, it's a cool idea. I'd like to see like what exactly that entails, but it's just another way to play another game that You know, it's pretty awesome. I backed the game on Kickstarter, was looking forward to it, glad that it was well received. Have yet to start it, so I really can't imagine what co-op would bring to the table. But hey, they did it, and I'm looking forward to hearing from the people who actually get involved with that.
Yeah, I like to see it because we're seeing it more in these games that are traditionally considered, single player experiences.
Baldur's Gate, Divinity.
Yeah, we're getting more co-op. We're getting more co-op in these games, so people can experience this, which means it shows that there is at least you could see that there's data that people are playing these like would like to play these games turn-based style. I know Marissa and I will play a lot of single player games, couch co-op, just handing off the sticks. But knowing that, like, she could have a dedicated character that she can run with me in the world, that's a great option, especially a way to get her introduced to these style of games. Like, she might not play it on her own, but if we're running through it together, she's interested. Like, she even saw, what was it, Paper Mario, and that's us also a turn-based RPG. And she was having that. She was interested in playing it. She was like, we should get it. We should, if anything, just hand off the sticks and we'll just play through that game. And so that was like kind of like her. That would be her introduction to turn-based, but knowing that there's a game like this where she could, like when they showed in the preview in the teaser, like the you can run in any direction, so it's not like you're running in that you're not running in that line. I was gonna say Fire Emblem, but forgot what the game is called. But like where the characters are, there's multiple characters, but they're always in a line together as they move through the world. Like you can split up and
Oh, you could
kind of go.
split up and go about the screen. That's
Yeah,
cool.
exactly. Yeah, so you're I don't think you can, run off screen where it then goes into split screen. I didn't see that. But you can at least like cover more ground if you need to explore and things like that. So that's really cool and, just adds a little more flair to a game that's already seemed to be loved by so many people. It's another way to, get access to other people who would like to play this game in a different way. So I like that. I like this a different route, and it'll be interesting to see if more and more of these turn-based games, because we're getting them, these tactical turn-based games. So if we get more of them with multiplayer, that'll be an awesome addition to this space.
Oh, yeah.
A dub, let's take a quick break and we will come back with the next topic of the week.
That topic of
Topic
the
of the
week.
week. And we are back, A dub, with the next topic of the week.
Topic of the
Week.
week. Let me see what I have in the
What you got?
bag.
What you got? You
Well,
got?
if you're a fan of Star Wars, if you're a fan of the Star Wars Jedi franchise that includes Fallen Order and Survivor, then this news may be of some value to you. We figured out what's going on with the next chapter of Stig Ostmundson's journey. Stig was the game director of Jedi Fallen Order and Survivor, as well as God of War 3. He has recently announced that he has formed a new studio after leaving Respawn and EA last year. The studio is called Giant Skull. The new team aims to create a new premium AAA narrative-driven single-player third-person action adventure game. That is a lot of things, but it's right in Stig's wheelhouse. Let me see if he has a quote here where he says, "I can't underscore enough that mystery and intrigue is a huge part of what we're doing. We want our players to have a certain degree of autonomy and ownership in the game and agency as they're playing it. We want to make a game that has a momentum to it that you want to keep on playing it. And we respect our players and respect my time. We want to create real, authentic worlds that don't feel random. They feel like there's a rich history and that there's and that there's thought behind them." Let me see. Then the interviewer, this is coming from IGN, the interviewer goes on to ask why Stig left Respawn. He says, "I was very happy at Respawn. Love the team, love the studio. EA was great. It was more just, I was approached with a really interesting opportunity. It started to be like a little kernel in my brain. Wow, what would it be like to start my own studio? It was something that was incredibly enticing." So, no bad blood, no dirty laundry behind the scenes, behind the curtain. Just my man got an opportunity, thought it was interesting, and went for it. Living that life, YOLO, balls out. AMC, are you interested in what this new game is going to be? Like, you still haven't played Fallen Order, let alone Survivor, but you played God of War 3, right?
God of War 3 now, then play God of War 3.
What?
Yeah, I played God of War, then I jumped to God of War reboot, and then that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, not yeah. As I said, I'm not a pony when it comes to exclusives. I play a couple, and then I'm in and out. I'm in. Should you? I played the first Last of Us. Didn't play Last of Us 2. It's just I'm in and out with certain franchises.
I feel you, man. I was out of Uncharted with Uncharted 2, came back for Uncharted 4, and lost, like, just completely skipped Uncharted 3 for some reason. So weird. Oh, that's me. But yeah, I mean, I'm very interested to see what's going to come from this. I mean, having played all three of those games, and especially loving the Star Wars Jedi franchise, I can, oh man, if he does anything similar or better, I would be very, very interested in that. So, I mean, we know that the next game, it's narrative driven and single player. It's third person, it's action adventure, so you can immediately look to those games as possibly what they were going after. I do remember reading before Fallen Order came out that they were working on a game, and they were like, then the opportunity came to make a Star Wars game, and it was like, oh, well, we were already making this, and it was close to that anyway, so we could just roll that over into a Star Wars game. So I'm wondering, maybe he'll bring back that original idea and take it in a different direction. You know, maybe he'll, I don't know, or maybe he'll just do something new. We don't really have a lot of information to go on here. We just know that the man has quite a number of gems on his resume. So whatever he's going to be working on and bringing to market, more than likely it's going to be worth the attention and possibly worth the money. So I'm very interested, looking forward to seeing more of what's coming. Maybe we get something this generation. Maybe we get it early next generation. We're getting to that point where we have to consider when new game announcements are going to materialize into something tangible. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting ride. Just got a new player in the game. And gonna have a new game on the board. There's never anything wrong with that, in my opinion.
Yeah,
But
so I thought about covering that story, but from a different perspective. You know what? And I'll just roll this one into it, and then I'll make my comments. So this from gamesindustry.biz, former Naughty Dog id Software and Activision developers had developed a new studio, Empty Vessel. Based in Texas, Empty Vessel will be overseen by CEO and game director Emmanuel Palalik. Alongside him, COO and general manager Garrett Young will lead the studio. Let's see. Empty Vessel's development team brings experience that includes working on series such as Call of Duty, The Last of Us, and Uncharted. So, what I'll say to that is the reason why I thought about covering that story and this story is that, you know, it's been pretty miserable the past couple of weeks with all the layoff stories. So it is nice to see because there's this kind of like there's this growing, you know, pessimism when it comes to video gaming, and it's like it's everything's contracting. We don't know what this means. People are getting fired. Is this the end? Is this the end? Yada, yada,
Don't
yada.
start a career in gaming.
Yeah. And so it's nice to, you know, we also have to cover the stories of if we're going to cover studios getting shut down, we also have to cover new studios popping up, which means also new jobs for people who are getting laid off to go and work at these studios. So, yeah,
Ground
it's
floor
a.
opportunities that might get them some ownership interest and they're ultimately be more lucrative, have more creative freedom, probably more
Exactly. And also,
flexibility with their schedules.
and you're entering at the point where the studio isn't bloated. Like that's the
Yeah.
that seems to be a lot of issues, especially with a lot of the layoffs. Like you'll hear it's like they laid off 10%, and it's like, oh, 10%, what is that? And it's like that is like 500 people. And it's
4,000
like,
people.
yeah, it's like holy shit, that's a huge studio. And so yeah, like yeah, and unfortunately, yeah, those people all get fired, but it is good to know that there are people who are leaving and going to start new studios from this to create new opportunities for other people. And, you know, for people who are let go from these big companies to then get a job at a company that's on, as you said, on the ground floor. They're in the raising money phase. So they're not looking to fire people and just mass layoffs just because they need to tighten the belt, yada, yada, yada. You know, that will come after whatever the releases of the first game, if
God
anything.
damn it.
Assuming that it doesn't do well. But yeah,
Just
but
broke
yeah,
the
I just wanted
wheel
to
off my
cover.
chair.
Oh, that was you. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so that's I just wanted to cover the story from that perspective that, you know, it's not all doom and gloom out there. There are opportunities being created from, you know, these people getting let go, or at least, people leaving on their own accord and then going to start a new studio. It's always seen as a bad sign when a studio loses like a creative head. They're like, oh, what does this mean for this studio? But what is good is that that creative head typically goes on to start their own studio and then create more opportunities for other people. So, maybe bad for one area, at least seemingly bad. Things keep on keeping on, even though we make it seem like if one person leaves, that's the end of that studio. But yeah, if they leave, that also opens up more opportunities. So that's always the other side of somebody leaving a place is that opportunities get created in other places. So something to just remember before we get into this is everything going away
Yeah,
perspective that
it's just the
people tend
last
to just
console generation.
and so
I
yeah, I
mean,
just wanted to yeah, I
yeah,
guess I
I mean, just to add to that, it's we really have to tip our hats to digital distribution and connected consoles, because without that, there's no self-publishing on these consoles. You're going to have to press up a disc, and that's just additional cost to what it takes to get a finished game out into the market. And then you got to deal with Sony and Microsoft and their security protocols and all this and that. And it's you can start a studio and put a game out. You don't need to get a big publisher. You can crowdsource it. There's just so many more options and opportunities. So it always, it kind of sets me aback or takes me aback when I hear people talk about, like, is there another crash coming? Are these the end times? And
Yeah.
it's like, the industry is not structurally built the way that it was back then when the crash did happen, where the success or failure of one major company or two, I forget exactly what happened in the crash, but it's not built in the way where, oh, they went down, oh, we're all going down. It's like, oh, they went down, oh, shit. We got to get this game out. So it's like, there are multiple platforms. There are multiple big publishers. There are just thousands upon thousands of studios the world over. And there's this whole foundation, a safety net of games development in the indie scene, in the small development scene, where these people are just going to keep churning, and they're doing it in short time frames. They're doing it on smaller budgets. They're doing it with smaller teams. They have higher profit margins. They have just more creativity, more ability to take risk. And every like you're not just gonna hit the floor if you fall from the height of a big publisher or a big developer these days. You have that small development, indie development safety net, and it just keeps feeding into the cycle. And now things can get big and fall down and become smaller, or fall away, fall through the net, and just catch everything worth catching and cycle it back into the system. Like, there's as bad as it is in that arena of the market, we have the smaller arena now, and it's safer. It overall, there's more opportunities out there. Like, it sucks that so many people got let go in such a short period of time. But there are more opportunities out there. So I would just encourage people to just look smaller, look local, and just, yeah, try to get your ideas out, try to get your creativity out, try to get your name on finished products, and keep building yourself. So there's light.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, on top of that too, like with your going back to the point about the digital thing, like I know people, the conservationists, the
The
preservationists,
preservation, the conservationists, I
the
like that.
conservationists, the preservationists, they get upset when what is it, like Remedy or like a studio, when they put out a game and they don't have the physical copies right in launch, and they're like, where are my physical copies? The game's gonna go away. It's gonna get delisted. Oh God. And then after they always say like, here are the physical copies. You can get them if you want them. Blah blah blah. And I completely understand that approach because like, let's see how this game sells first. Game does well, then guess what? You got physical copies coming. But we're not gonna just pump all, we're not gonna spend that extra cash if we don't have to. To then, to then get the game out and, see it possibly flop, and you got all these discs out there in the world that nobody wants. So that's like, I see that as like another way to like save money that I know pisses off gamers, but That's comes with the cost if you wanted day one, but I get their point. Let's move on, A-Dub, to the next topic of the week.
Topic of the week.
This one, A-Dub, is about the return of a video game, A-Dub. Everybody, it went away. People didn't know if it was coming back. Well, now we know that it's coming back and it has a release date. So that being A-Dub, a free-to-play game from WB, that being Multiverses. Versus
What?
Multiversus.
Oh, you mean that game, the game that was in early access that they took away?
They took away. I paid
They
money
took
on
it
it.
away. I paid money.
I spent money on it.
What happens now? It's like it's early access, dude. Calm down.
You didn't have to spend money. Let's see. So
Exactly.
Multiverses. So just a reminder, this is the Smash Brothers inspired free-to-play game with with all the WB, DC, everything, Cartoon Network, everything you can know and love all in one game in a Smash Brothers inspired style of play. So this is from IGN. Multiverses open beta officially shut down in June last year after launching with a battle pass, microtransactions, and DLC characters. But let's get to the meat of the story. Developer Player First Games announced a release date of May 28th, 2024, across PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, and PC via Steam and Epic Game Store with full crossplay and cross progression support. Player First Games said it had rebuilt the game from the ground up to improve online play with a move to Unreal Engine 5 for improved visuals. There is also a brand new PvE mode that adds additional ways of playing the game with unique rewards. It's A-Dub, Multiverse is coming back. It was a game that, I think people kind of scoffed at when it was first announced. It was free to play, Smash Brothers inspired bullshit. And then it comes out and everybody's playing it, loving it, playing a Shaggy, Batman. Yeah, they're all over this game, enjoying every bit of it. It goes away. People were upset that it went away, but they said it was the open beta. So now we're getting that full official release coming in May 8, Dub. What are your expectations for the return? Are you jumping in to play some Multiverses?
And absolutely not. No, I didn't jump into the early access. Won't be jumping into the full release. Smash Brothers is that game for me. Maybe Brawlhalla, just because I like that. But I'm not trying to get in all these brawlers like that. I don't know. They're
Same.
cool. They're cool. I respect them. And if they're good, that's great for the people who love these kind of games. I think it on my planet, there's only room for Smash Brothers. I don't need nothing else. How about yourself, AFC?
I'm not gonna be getting into it. I was happy to see it do well because Smash is just always killing the game, and whenever a Smash clone comes out, it's hit or miss. Nickelodeon's been kind of doing the damn thing. People seem to enjoy that version of it. And then when this one came out, it did take people by surprise, especially this one being free to play. Brawlhalla is also free to play, but people didn't expect it. And so because it was free to play, they thought, oh, this is gonna be scummy, yada yada yada. People play it anyways, and there's like, this game is actually pretty awesome. Surprise, surprise. And then and then they were upset when it went away, when this free-to-play game with microtransactions went away. They were upset about it, A-Dub. So now it'll come back. It'll
Live
be
service game,
yeah, live service.
microtransactions.
It'll be interesting to see if they can recapture, the excitement that there was when the open beta came out. It'll be a story to follow up on. It's interesting. The live service space is actually doing pretty well right now. We'll probably hit another story later in the episode, discussing more of that. But it'll be interesting to see if people get excited for this game when it returns. They already put their money down on it, so I'm pretty sure they will be.
I thought live service games were insta fails, dead on
Instant.
arrival.
Yeah, guess not. High garbage.
Not
A-Dub,
great.
do you have the next topic of the week?
Topic of the
The
week.
week.
Well, I guess we're gonna have to get right into the big one, AFC, because I forget exactly when. I think it was a couple weeks ago, so we missed that week. But we're bringing you guys up to date with the Xbox Partner Preview. March 2024.
Tell us more.
So, just meter your expectations because at this show, Microsoft is showcasing all the third-party titles that will be coming to the platform. It doesn't necessarily mean they're exclusive, but it does mean they're coming to the Xbox platform. So they're worth your time and your energy to check out and give a look. First game that caught my eye was the first game of the show, Unknown Nine Awakening. So I feel like there has been like no peep of this. At least I haven't heard of this game before. However, trailer opens up. We have this woman, and she's just handling business. So I'm thinking, okay, you got your murder grass. You got her moving around doing some espionage, but she's got powers, AMC. She's able to possess other NPCs and make them do things. She's able to create psionic barriers and stop bullets as she closes in for the takedown. She's able to do martial arts. She's throwing roundhouse kicks. AMC, you know me, A-Dub. I'm a sucker for female leads in video games. It's a nice change of pace. It's a nice break from reality where me, a male, is the lead all the time. So I like to suspend that disbelief, get a little fantasy going. And I like original ideas. I like takes on superpowers. Let me see if I have a little more information for you guys. It doesn't look like I do. So that's unfortunate. However, I advise people to go check out Xbox's X feed. That's going to be confusing as hell. Or just look up Unknown Nine Awakening. It's an awesome looking game. It looks like it has quite a bit of promise. We've been shown gameplay, so you can see how the game looks. And it looks like it's gonna be another solid entry in that vein of franchises like Infamous or Prototype or just anything where you have just this open world and you have characters and powers and you do what you gotta do to make it through. AMC, did you have any thoughts about Unknown Nine Awakening?
Yeah, I won't say much. The game definitely looked dope. It was a great way to start out this partner preview. But yeah, that's all I got for that, A-Dub.
Well, do you got a little more for something else that may have caught your eye during the presentation?
Don't have much more, just that it's a firm purchase. We got to see it again, and it looked better, if anything, than the first time we saw it at the Game Awards, and now we're seeing it again. This being Tales of Kinzara Zhao.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so if you remember at the Game Awards, let's see, it was the actor, the narrative voice behind the game, Aboubakar Salim. He gave this emotional speech about, losing, I believe, his father, and how it
Yes.
influenced the story behind this game. And then we got to see it. It looked awesome. Then we got to see more of it now. We see, it's a Metroidvania. Platforming looks absolutely awesome. The combat looks great. The boss battles look great. We know it's coming April 23rd. It'll be on Xbox, PC, PS5, and Switch. I'll probably be getting it on Switch. And yeah, just
Oh.
seeing more of it. Because, when I first saw it, some of the animations and the cutscenes are kind of like, ah, but the gameplay looks dope. And so that's enough to get me for this style of game. Cutscenes don't make these style of games, so totally fine, whatever they do. But just seeing more of the game and knowing firmly that the gameplay is there, it just like settles me in for something that I want to experience and go through and just see all the different powers. They showcase some of the abilities and things like that. And yeah, I can't wait because I love me a Metroidvania. Guacamelee was my shit. And especially one that's, steeped in culture like this game. You can see the influence. And so yeah, I can't wait to play this game. What did you think about this game after seeing it for a second time, A-Dub?
I'm the thing I love most about it is how good of a game it looks like it is. Like there's not much question in my mind of like, well, I wonder how that's gonna play out, or I have questions about this. It's like they're showing you the game, the movement is tight, the visuals are clean, the art style is evocative and colorful. So it's just got so much going on. You have what, the sun mask and the moon mask. So you have two different sets of powers, and it's going in, man. I was very impressed when I saw it at the Game Awards, and they're staying consistent and they're keeping my interest. I don't know if I'm gonna get it because just in how things are going with my Metroidvania progression, I gotta make time for the Ori games. And I haven't done that yet. I have no excuse. I have an Xbox. So I have access to those. And I always told myself that I would play them. But
Great
eventually,
game. I
I'm.
played the first one at least. I still got to play the Will of the Wisp, but the first one was absolutely awesome.
Yeah,
And the second one's even better.
I want to play more. They put out that Prince of Persia Lost Crown. He's single, has been playing it, and he can vouch for it. Everybody who's played it, I've seen talk about it positively online. So there, it's going to take me a minute to get to this one. It doesn't have that kind of priority. I mean, we'll see how I feel when it does come out, but I am very impressed by it, and I want it to do well because it's being made from a good place in someone's heart for a good reason. Like there's purpose and feeling behind this game. You don't see that so overtly that often, because I'm sure that the artists and creatives put their feelings and their and everything in their heart and their passion into all their products. But this is one where it was made to convey that love and that relationship. So yeah, high hopes for that.
What else caught your eye?
What else caught my eye? What caught my eye is that we got a release date for Frostpunk 2. So, in case you guys don't know, A-Dub fell madly in love with Frostpunk. It's a game where you have your it's something happened in the world and it is just covered in ice. It's another ice age, and the only way that people are surviving are by disassembling these reactors and building cities around them. So you're getting heat from this reactor. You have to manage its power level and whatever like physical things might happen to it that prevent it from functioning correctly. You gotta manage the people who are cold, they're hungry, they're sick, they're being treated poorly by the government. And it's like you're the person in charge, so you have to deal with these social situations as they arise while also building up the city, improving the city, ensuring people's survival, providing them as comfortable a life as you possibly can to try to survive just this super storm that's looming like days and days off. So this is the follow-up to that game, and it looks like you're building a much bigger city this time, and you're dealing with just much more intricate social dynamics in the vein of the first game. So it looks like more Frostpunk, but better. Let me see the release date. It's going to be out on July 25th for PC. It's going to be day one on PC Game Pass, so people can look for that. I will be looking for a version I can get my hands on. Let's just say that. You know, when it comes to the consoles, that's when I'm gonna be all over it. You know, unless I built the PC. Let's see how these taxes go. But yeah, Frostpunk 2, I'm super excited. AMC, by any way, could one persuade thee to be interested?
Nah, but the game looks beautiful. I'll say that much. Like it looks awesome. I enjoyed hearing about it when you played it, but not a game for the AMC, but looks absolutely awesome. Looks, from what I remember, just absolutely brutal when you just see the slight change of weather and then like everything just goes to shit. I remember you telling me all about
Oh
that.
yeah, suddenly people start getting sick, the infirmary start filling up, people start dying, and suddenly just you don't have as many people available to work, and then resources start slowing down. It just spirals. It's like, oh no, what am I gonna do? Then people start getting upset, and there's a mutiny, there's fights in the streets. It's like, man. Oh, I can't wait for the next chapter of that, as well as another game in the show that I'll talk about later that springs from those roots, a new tree. But AMC, what you got?
This one we've seen it in the past, I believe at a prior Xbox event, and now we got to see more of the game, that being Path of the Goddess, A-Dub. There's actually a whole write-up on IGN, so I'm gonna just go through that because they actually did show a lot for this game. It wasn't just a Zao situation, we just showed more of a game that's coming soon. They actually showed a lot more. So let's see. The new trailer shows the hero as they traverse through the world and battle various spirits. It also showcases the game's day-night cycle and how it incorporates the strategic positioning of villagers who will fight by your side, along with a building element that sees you explore villages and repair contraptions that can be used to your advantage when the monsters come at night. This game looks absolutely awesome. An Xbox Wire post further fleshes out the details. And, you know, we're just going to say Path of the Goddess, revealing that the story revolves around a hero named So, who must work together with a maiden, Yoshiro, to purge and cleanse the villages of defilement. Masks worn by So and various villagers confer divine power, with 12 available in total. Let's see, the director, Suichi Kawada, wrote, "This game features a very distinct blend of action and strategy genres and takes strong inspiration from various elements of Japanese culture." And this game, because it was so awesome, I'll just add it here. This game is confirmed day one on Game Pass. So if you got an Xbox, you need to be playing this game. Let me know all about it. Yeah, so this is a game. When I first saw it, I did notice how beautiful the world was. As it changed as you went through the world, your impact on it just gave me vibes of Okami. And yeah, and then to see more of this game and to see that, you know, it's not just because when we first saw it, also it looked kind of more of a, I guess we'll say character action, but, you know, an action adventure style of game. And now we're learning that it's more of a action slash like strategy game where you're going to have villagers set up. So somewhat like a tower defense where you have the villagers set up in a way to, you know, help defend, I guess, the path that the enemies will be moving down. And the fact that you can also change what they're wearing to then affect their powers and things like that. Yeah, it looks absolutely awesome. Did not expect this much from this game. And man, this is also a game. This is now moving up to a potential game of the year situation for me. So I love seeing this game. What did you think of Path of the Goddess, A-Dub?
I mean, somehow they were able to get me more excited, because before it just looked like this awesome, somewhat no theater inspired original Capcom property. But then with this new gameplay reveal, they got like damn near tower defense going on. Like, you're recruiting people, you're beautifying the world that you're maneuvering through. And it shows even more of its no theater kind of influences, because as the homies are fighting, everybody's moving and behaving in this very rhythmic, very choreographed manner. Like, even the moves of the main character, they have these extra flourishes, like he'll swing his leg around when he really doesn't have to, or extend the blade out just a little bit more to give it that ha, that ta-da. And it's just, oh man, it's a game that I never knew I needed, but once you see it, it's like, duh, like, why not? Why wouldn't you make this game? It's, oh man, it's something that I wouldn't play for the purpose of completing. It's something that I would play for the purpose of watching while I play. Just get to that point where all the controls are muscle memory and you're just like, the controller fades away. It's just you watching the screen and everything's happening the way that you envision it. Like, it would be one of those games, Scene Paint, where you're actually working with performers in this crazy situation. And it's awesome. You even got the princess getting involved. She's doing her thing and dancing, beautifying, purifying, and just the animations, the depth of field, the color palette. It's creepy and weird, but it's also like inviting and optimistic at the same time. Like, it's like if Disney did a horror movie. Like, it's kind of like it, like, think about a Japanese version of, what is it, Jack Skellington, The Nightmare Before Christmas. Like, think about that. That theater is gonna hit. I think that's gonna be something that a lot of people won't have the words for it, but they'll be describing it when they talk about this game. So I'm very excited to see how this is gonna hit when it comes out. Yeah. Path of the Goddess, Kimitsugami. I love it. I just want to see more of it. I want to see it do well. This is the kind of stuff. This is what you get into the gaming industry to make. It's just that unique and weird stuff that makes no sense.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break and we're gonna hit a couple more of these because A-Dub, I want to give this room to breathe because actually, you know what? We're getting into this and I'm kind of liking what I'm hearing, A-Dub. I thought we were going to fly right through this partner preview, but maybe they got something to talk about here. So we'll be right back, A-Dub, after this break. All right, A-Dub, what's the next game that caught your eye at this partner showcase?
Peeling through the list real quick, there was a number of titles that were on display here. Trying to find, there we go. So this one's made by 11-Bit Studios. It has some of the developers from Frostpunk working on this, and you can see that DNA and just the weird take on a Frostpunk style experience that they've taken with this one. So this game is called The Alters. It's a third-person sci-fi game. It has many thrills, intense moments. The trailer shows the player, Jan Dolsky, has this person. So what happens is you're on a planet. The conditions are extremely harsh. You have like a habitat ship, kind of vessel that rolls along the surface, and you're trying to outrun the sun because the sunlight will just mess your whole shit up. So, in order to help you, just survive, move the ship, and stay alive, you have to crew the ship. But there's no one there but you. So, the way you crew the ship is that you create alternate versions of yourself that are branching pathways in what would have been your life if you made different decisions. Like, this is the kind of game I would make this because that is just awesome. Where you're basically working out all your issues with yourself. But yes, what this does is it just creates this weird kind of multiverse of the self on the ship where you can see yourself if you made those different choices. Like if you decided to be a botanist, or if you decided to not drop out of college, or if you worked harder for your marriage and stuff like that, or like if you bought the station wagon instead of the Ferrari, I don't know. Things like that. Oh my God, if that's one of the choices, I will love this game. Oh, this is where I have my midlife crisis. Maybe I should have bought the Ferrari. And then that guy's there. He's like, oh, I found these space drugs. But anyway, but yeah, that also brings some issues with it because even though they're different versions of yourself, they're also bringing with them, quirks and traits that you're not familiar with. So there will be conflicts and disagreements. We'll have to see how far that goes. Although they did show off a screen where it looked like two versions of yourself came to you with a problem. One of them wants all of them to have better quality food, while the person in charge of making sure that the resources are plentiful and go around is like, oh, that'll cost too many resources. That'll do this and that. And it's, you got to choose. Are you gonna do this and make him happy? Are you gonna do this and make them mad? I don't know. So that's immediately Frostpunk to me. They give you a nice zoomed out view of the ship so you can see all the rooms within it, who's in it, what's happening. I'm hoping that you see some fist fights or something. I gotta see some actual conflicts that you have to break up because things have to boil over. I need that for that experience to be complete. I mean, this is one of the more inventive games that I saw. I've had my eye on it for a while, so when I saw this trailer come up, I was like, yep, here we go. It doesn't have a release date yet, but we did get that gameplay trailer where it's showing us the ship life as well as showing us exploration as you're maneuvering outside, a la Death Stranding. If you want to ask the AMC, no lie, I was thinking the same thing myself when you said that. I was like, oh, it's just like Death Stranding. Oh, well, yeah, the Alters is that's on the list for me. AMC, how did you feel about that?
Yeah, that game looked absolutely awesome. Just so unique. Reminds me of this. So there's this character in Marvel. He was part of, I believe, X Factor called Multiple Man. And his thing was that he could turn, he could make duplicates of himself. And for initially, it was just like, oh, you can make duplicates and so that's kind of cool. But then they really went into, I think his name is like Jamie Madrix is the character's name, but they went more and more into the character. And one of the great like storylines that they did with him, he had his own multiple man miniseries. And in that, he basically made different versions of themselves and they go off and like, they go off and live their own lives. And so they like, when they come back to him, they're like just completely different people. And it just shows like, kind of like all the different changes that he could experience if he were to like, you know, I guess nurture, just change up his environment and experience different things, what that would do to him. And I believe one like became murderous and things like that.
It always leads to murder at least once.
Yeah. And so what I liked in this game, yeah, it is like, you have the multiple versions of you. So I'm hoping, obviously, like you'll put in your character creator of yourself, and then it just goes ham with that. It just creates like, gives you with like purple hair and shit like that, straight hair. You have curly hair, who knows? But they go nuts with it. And I like the idea that they all have different personality types. So it's going to make it tough to really, you know, get along with yourself.
Yeah.
If anything, like, you know, there are people who, like, you know, you can sometimes be a friend to yourself and you can sometimes be an enemy to yourself. And I think that's like what this game is going to emphasize. It'll be interesting to see how you can try to be diplomatic, because they said it's going to be really hard to be diplomatic. Like helping one or making one person, one version of yourself happy is going to piss off another version of yourself. So there's a lot of psychological meta stuff going on here, which is great, because maybe it'll kind of like just give you a better insight into the many versions of you. You know, people see themselves singularly, but then you forget, you go through many different phases in life and decisions that you would have made at one point in life, you wouldn't have made later in life. And so it is interesting to see, like, you know, just all that come into, I guess, conflict and also trying to work with that, embrace that in order to get something done, which is clearly the objective of the game. And then to see also, you know, learn the mystery of that world with its, was it Rapidium and what that does, kind of gave me like Interstellar vibes there. You know, what was it, Interstellar, like you're talking to Matthew McConaughey in like mm-hmm. in another universe. So yeah, it just gives me that like multiverse. Yeah. Play the notes. And so yeah, it gives you those vibes. And I'm really interested. There's a lot of mystery to it, but there's a lot of interesting stuff from a gameplay standpoint that you just not seen in other games. So immediately when you see that, you want to know what a game like that has to offer. And once people get their hands on it, and you know they're going to test the shit out of the capabilities of this game. And so yeah, I'm really interested to see how, you know, the various versions of you, how much they vary from, I don't know, maybe play sessions or whatever, or if it's kind of like you have a single type for everything. But yeah, it's pretty cool concept, really cool world, and really cool design. So that this one definitely stole the show as far as something, seeing something new and leaving an impact. A lot of stuff I talked about before, these were things I had seen before and just reaffirming my first impressions of those games. But this was the first time seeing something, and yeah, it definitely caught me off guard and caught my intrigue. So this would be the big one for me, Ado. I personally don't have anything else that caught my eye. What was it, that first Berserker?
Like Roblox, Chucky.
Yeah, Chucky. You play Chucky. The kids
are holding on to people's back, stabbing.
Yeah, we saw, I guess this has been revealed in the past, but the first Breaker, Kazan, we saw a little bit of that. That action looked interesting. That was the one where, I don't know if it's like Souls-like, but it's like a lot of one-on-one battles, and he's got the axes.
I like that emphasis on one-on-one combat that seems to be the way that the game is going, because that gives him the room to make things like really, really like dynamic.
Yeah.
Dynamic and like visual, since you don't have to plan for things behind you, things to the side. It's just mano a mano.
Yeah. But yeah, that was pretty much everything that caught my eyes. Or anything else that caught your eye from this event, Ado?
Nothing for me. However,
yeah,
there are some folks that nothing caught their eye. They're walking away with the sour face. They got the gas face. Got troll of the week. Troll of the week. Yes, we got troll of the week. They're coming sideways. They're coming sideways at the Microsoft Partner Showcase. First troll says, has there ever been a good partner showcase? Why are they always so bad? Sounded like Thanos. Like, if you knew how to lie, you would be so badass. Next troll says, that was pathetic. Maybe it's because I'm older, but I expect these companies to put out amazing games. Every one of these was meh at best.
Meh.
At best. Most I can give you, meh. Next show says, so does Xbox just want to be the new home for knockoff Pokemon games now?
Damn.
Taking shots at Power World, taking shots at Ava. I don't know what's going on. Next troll doesn't know what's going on either. It just says, what a shit show. Next troll says, if this is the average showcase, you need to shut it down. Nothing about this makes me excited to own an Xbox Series X. Next troll says, guess I didn't know what to expect, but I'm glad I wasn't expecting a lot. That one got me. And last troll says, this was a giant waste of time.
Damn.
Wasn't even that long. I mean, geez. I don't know. I'm walking out. Granted, we've seen the altars before. Granted, we've seen Kimetsugami before. But we haven't seen Unknown 9 Awakening. We haven't seen Sleight of Hand, which I didn't talk about because it was a CG trailer. However, it looks like it's another woman-led game where she's using cards to cast magic, and it's stealth. It's third person. I'm interested. I want to see more from it. But, I mean, Frostpunk 2, we got a date, but we know about that. They're letting you know what's coming up from their third parties, what you can expect on the console. I mean, if you're not interested in the follow-up to Frostpunk, I don't know what to do with you. If you're not interested in Kimetsugami, I don't know what to do with you. And like the first Berserker, the last Berserker, I don't know which end it is, but if that doesn't interest you, what's going on? The altars, how does that not interest you? But AMC, is this as baffling to you as it is to me?
It's always baffling because I'll talk about like three or four games from these like state of plays or whatever. I'm like, damn, I can't wait for that game. And people would just look at it and be like, oh, it's hot garbage. It's all shit. I'm not buying anything. Games are terrible.
Yeah.
It's just a sign of, you know, it's a sign of things. You know, it's a story I'm not going to cover, but there's, I guess, WB made a comment about the, their focus on what types of games they're gonna be focused on moving forward, which I'm sure upset some people. And one of the comments is about like the volatility of the AAA space, and you know, this is kind of a side of it when I hear that from like, you know, executives. When I hear about the volatility, it's you don't know how people are gonna react to things, and you show something, and people are just like, this is crap, like, and you just spent like $50 million getting a game made, and just somebody could see the character design and be like, this is crap. Dead on arrival, firm flop, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, this is like, I see a bunch of games. I already listed two that I'm almost guaranteed to buy. And yet there are people who see nothing good about any of these things, are upset. They would only care if these are first party releases. If it's a third party release, then they don't care about that. Yeah, like third party keeps like the industry going. It's funny. More first party games are going third party. But yeah, but people, if they see that it's a third party showcase, then immediately the first thought is, oh, this is a bunch of crap. And why would Xbox waste their time with this? So yeah, man, that's all I got.
I guarantee you that at least a couple of these games, we'll be hearing about them again at the end of the year. And I don't know why people front, like, aren't you paying attention? Just the kind of games, they get the nods, they get the awards, and it's a lot of good stuff coming out. There's too much good stuff I can't play at all. I'm not even going to try, but I fit in stuff where I can because it's just, man, it's overflow. Like I have no words. I mean, to talk down about the show when one, you knew it was going to be a third party showcase. It just doesn't make any sense to me, especially when these are mostly single player, no microtransactions, no live service. So again, we find ourselves in these situations where people are saying what they don't want, yet when the industry gives you what you say you do want, you don't want that either. So it's just more mixed signals. If you keep giving them negative feedback on the stuff that they're making to appeal to your taste, then you're gonna get more live service, man. You're gonna get more multiplayer, you're gonna get more microtransactions because you're messing up the money. You can't mess up the money. We got troll of the week,
We
troll of the
chill of the
week,
week,
troll of the
chill of the
week,
week,
troll of the
chill of the
week,
week, chill of
week,
the week,
week,
week, week, week, week,
week,
week,
week,
week.
week, week, week.
Right, we're in quick hit territory. So, let's hit some of these stories, A Dub. I got first quick hit. Sorry, got a cough. Let's see. Following up on, getting more live service. Things along those lines is a story that popped up. I mean, it's a funny story. That's why I'm burying it at the end, but I found it funny. Is this from Windows Central? Microsoft and Rare Sea of Thieves is currently the number one most pre-ordered game on
I
PlayStation.
thought that was hilarious.
Yeah. And so I'm not even going to read the article, but
Yeah,
this
please
is a
don't.
fallout. Yeah, this is a whole fallout from, like Microsoft saying that they're putting out a couple games multi-platform, and we heard the Sea of Thieves coming to PlayStation. So people are pre-ordering it. Here's the funny thing about this story, because everybody's talking about like, does this the success of Sea of Thieves mean that more games are coming? Like that's the route that they're going. One thing I'll say here is that what's funny is that two big stories were in March, two big stories of the year, surrounded by live service games. What was it like 2 weeks ago? I mean, it's all we've been talking about is Helldivers. And now we're seeing people are excited about Sea of Thieves coming to PlayStation. So from a standpoint, you hear it a lot often, the echo chamber that is the hardcore gamer, and everything needs to be single player. This is all we care about. Single player, triple A, blah
Live
blah
service needs to die.
blah. Dinosaurs needs to die. And yet here we are, Helldivers. Huge game to the point that, we got people like Sean Layton coming out saying that the success of Helldivers is showing that like less games need to be console exclusive. And then, yeah, now we have Helldivers obviously doing the numbers it's doing. And then we see, Microsoft say, hey, we're going to put out, Grounded and Sea of Thieves, two live service games on other consoles. And people are like, yeah, that makes sense. Bring in more people, bring in more money. That makes more sense. And yeah, and so yeah, we're seeing Sea of Thieves also do well. See, and then as we discussed earlier, Multiverses, a game that people had no expectations for, ended up doing really well. People were upset when it went away, and now it's coming back this year, and we'll see how people react to it. But three big games, three live service games, people talking about them, but nobody wants them, but people are playing them. It's kind of funny. What do you think about this? Contradiction of what people say they want versus what people end up playing.
Well, I'm reminded of a quote from the great philosopher, the AMC, texted to me not but about a week or two ago. It seems like Sony fans only like live service games if they aren't made by Sony. Helldivers blow it up. Helldivers blow it up. What else is it? Was some of those. What was the other one?
I mean, I don't know. There's just a lot of stories recently. I know we're playing like Overwatch live service game. I was just talking about Sea of Thieves right now with the
Oh
pre-orders.
yeah, Helldivers
Yeah.
blow it up. Sea of Thieves most pre-ordered, but Foam Stars on PS Plus. Nah, don't want it. Nah, the live service games that Sony is making. Cancel The Last of Us. Canceling all kinds of other stuff. Everybody's cool with that, but yeah, let me get Helldivers.
Yeah, I guess
Let
Sea of
me get
Thieves.
that Sea of Thieves. But yeah, live service gotta die. You still dancing on the grave of Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League.
Yeah.
separated only days from Helldivers 2. Like, so lifting up Helldivers 2, standing on Suicide Squad's grave. That's crazy. It's insane to me. But it's like going back to the war bond, the new premium war bond that came out. There was an article circulating where the headline is Helldivers 2 has a premium war bond, and people are explaining why it's not pay to win. And it's like, biggest game, everybody celebrated, but then here comes this shit. And people just be hurling those allegations at it. It's like, man, you don't have to pay for anything. Therefore, it's not pay to win. That's the long and short of it, as far as I'm concerned. I'm sure people have other technical and conditional criteria to determine whether or not something is pay to win. But if I don't have to pay to win, then it's not pay to win. Just let's end this nonsense and quit mining for clicks on that. But yeah, man, Helldivers is killing it, and that's great because every now and then there's gonna be a good one. It no one's expecting every one of those to be good. There's no game in any genre, or excuse me, there's no genre where every game is good or most of the games are good. Most genres, every genre is filled with a lot of pretty poor offerings and then some great stuff. Live service is its own thing. I dare say its own genre. There's plenty of great ones. All of them are gonna succeed, but the good news is only one from a given company has to succeed, and everything should be fine. So Helldivers is the one for Arrowhead Studios. They deserve it because they, whatever magic they weaved on that discontinued engine is unbelievable. So I'm down for whatever they have to bring to the market. So I don't know how we got on this tangent, so feel free to take the wheel.
I let's do you have do you
Oh,
have
quick
a
hits, that's
yeah, do you
right.
have another quick hitter?
Quick hit. I got, it's not quite a quick hit. What I have is a new segment because something special happened, everybody. We got some fan mail.
We've been asking you.
We've been asking you for all this time, and somebody responded. We're very grateful. So I'm gonna read it to all you folks around the globe. This is coming from Greg N. Says, thanks. Hey, I've been a fan for years. Just wanted to say thank you for all of the entertaining podcasts. Enjoy hearing your perspectives and the positivity you bring. Take care, Greg. We hear you, buddy. We appreciate it. You take care as well. We're going to keep trying to maintain the positivity. There's a lot of stuff that happens and a lot of ways that it's presented that could, it could sour one's spirit, but we try to stay chipper, try to keep our spirits up and just enjoy the good things. There's so much good stuff happening. Like, man, I finished a battle pass in Overwatch, so boom, I'm done. I don't have to feel like I want to play that all the time, even though I do, and I will. I might mess around and get all the prestige titles, but I just beat the Overwatch Battle Pass. I'm about to finish off the Diablo Battle Pass, and I'm very close to the threshold where I can start possibly getting the Uber uniques to drop from just regular enemy drops. So I'm having a blast with my barbarian. The butcher is still absolutely destroying me, and I don't know how I'm going to combat that. But there's a lot of good stuff going on. Still got Kakarot I can go to. I think about it all the time. Just the fact that there's a game that finally controls the flash step. You can just press a button. Stop that. Oh man, it's so great. Got more coming. My backlog is thick. I got unplayed games. I have partially played games. I have games I just want to go back to and just kick the tires, take it around the block once or twice. AMC, how do you feel about maintaining the positivity in a world where people just try to rain on your parade?
Yeah, first I'll lead off by saying great to hear from you, Greg. As I texted Dub the moment he sent me your email, I was like, that made my day. I thought about it. I put you in my gratitude journal.
Very nice.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, as we said, we love to hear from you guys. Hey, if you just want to talk some shit, feel free to reach out and talk some shit. You might end up on Troll of the Week. But yeah, we love hearing getting
That would be
feedback.
awesome.
Yeah, we love getting that feedback, that positivity, because we've been doing it just for us. I mean, we do it for y'all, but we do it for us. Like, we like to discuss what we like to discuss. If we enjoy talking to each other and, just diving into the nuance that is the video games industry, then we could just do that from year on year on year moving forward. But it's also nice to hear back from people. And so, like, just hearing that, spreading that positivity around, that thumbs up, it lets us know that we're doing something right. And so we just keep building on that. And yeah, as you said, it's, like, some people see it as, being positive, as like you're just being a sheep.
Yeah,
You're being a
chill.
collaborator. Yeah, you're being a shill. But no, like, it's just my viewpoint on things. One is just I'm here because I like playing video games, so why would I only talk about the things that I dislike about video games? And like,
Yeah.
it doesn't really make sense to me. And then two, just another overall philosophy that I have just in general in life is kind of like not being too emphatic about anything, as far as like when people are like, this could never be. It's basically getting to the point that like it makes you a hypocrite in ways, because as you said, like I can literally listen to people say how live service games are just awful, yada yada yada, and then Helldivers came out and they're all playing it, talking about how great it is,
Yeah.
and how much they love Destiny. Yada. And so like it's like one of those things where like people say one thing, but then they play, but then they do the opposite, but that is the exception. So like Sea of Thieves is doing well, so like that's the one-off. It's a good Xbox game, so we'll talk about how
Yeah.
good that is. What was it, Helldivers is doing good. That's the one-off. We're just talking about that. It's a great game that came out this year. Not indicative of other live service games, but like you don't want to acknowledge that. And then Suicide Squad comes out and is like, this is why we don't make live service games.
So
And
why we
so,
need to stop.
yeah, it just, I don't know, it just makes you like a hypocrite. It just, in my eyes, it makes it looks like you're all about the engagement. You're all about the, you're all about servicing the outrage of your community. It's like one of those things, like I was just listening to like people talk about this idea about games, costing too much, and I was just going through it in my head, because it was being pointed to, like this person had said it from the beginning, and I would but and so like they're giving that person credit for they've been saying it for a while, and now it's all we're discussing. But I would say, like, from our perspective, we had been viewing a lot of decisions made by the the publishers based on that fact that games were becoming so expensive. And so so here's my example with that. This is what I'm getting at. So when they raise the price of games to $70, a lot of talking heads, a lot of the discourse was centered around the outrage of raising the price and how the community didn't like it, yada yada. And we kept pointing back to the fact that I believe it was Sean Layton who said, games are costing, like the price of games is getting out of control, and like some it's gonna there's gonna be a reckoning in some way. And so we immediately equated raising the price of games to that, being that the prices have gone up, they haven't gone up in so many years. We pointed out inflation and all that, and how it's been pretty stagnant when it comes to the pricing of games. And so this $10 thing is should be a sign of one, the industry trying to correct this, and two, them, if you're not going to buy, certain things, then they're going to get that money from you one way or another. We kept going back to
Yeah,
that, pointing it out.
they're
And,
getting their money.
yeah.
You're
And
not stopping
the focus was centered on the outrage, whereas we were focused on the why behind the decision making from the companies. And so now it's become a big talking point. But once again, we from the beginning have been pointing out they need to get money, and they're going to try to figure out how to get that
them.
money.
Yeah, they
And
keep
so,
trying to do it nice. They keep trying to reason with you. Like, look, we just need some more. We're gonna put this thing in there. If
You
you
don't
don't
have
want
to
to
get
deal with
it.
it, you don't want to deal with it, you don't have to deal with it.
You
But
don't have
it's
to get the
there.
skins, but we know that some people like Cowboy Bebop, and they might get these skins. Like,
Yeah.
and that's how it is. But people are just
I
mad that
did
that's
not
even
flinch.
here.
I wish they would do. I wish the games would just sell out in that manner and just do all the crossover content. Whatever. Just do it. Just do it. Because what does it hurt? Who cares how I play my game? If I want to have Homer Simpson in it, then I can have Homer Simpson in it. Like that's the mantra, right? Whenever people want to have their cheat codes or want to have their trainers or just want to do things that go against the design of the game. So why not let these developers cash in then? Why are they exempt from getting in on the fun of like, okay, you want to have all this stuff? Let's have all your money. Even exchange. But I'm
Exactly.
just saying, like
And that
I'll
money
be done.
goes,
I think
and
I
by the way,
stepped
that
on.
money goes to whoever originally created that character, that they had the license to get that character into their game. That money all goes back to those people, whereas your free mod, that money ain't going to whoever created,
Yeah.
Goku or Homer Simpson. Like, and so
Yeah,
yeah.
but mods are for the community.
Yeah, exactly. You know, talking about like supporting the artist, but the moment that you get a free handout, you're like, like I'm gonna jump
That's
on this.
interesting. That's very interesting. So people are against skins, like, of course, if they're paid, if they're free, then whatever. But they're against that, even though, like, the company has to pay for that. And thus the creators get paid to get a piece of that. But everybody supports mods where nobody is paying anybody. And they're putting CJ from Vice City and Sekiro, and they're putting Homer in God of War 3. And like,
Thomas the Train, Resident
yeah.
Evil.
Like, I doubt that there is a Thomas the Train check that was cut from the Resident Evil mods. So it's like, what are we really supporting here? It's just just my thought. I'll leave it alone.
Yeah, that's very true, very true.
It's
So yeah,
like,
that's why I say like it's, we're not positive for the sake of positive. It's that we express our love and our positivity of the
yeah.
genre. And we'll hit them every now and then when we got to. Like if there's a story that's, there's no gray area to it, like they just fucked up and we gotta acknowledge it. If we don't like the layoffs, we'll say, hey, we don't like we'll say there is a reason, but we also say it sucks and they probably
Yeah.
could have been better planning before those layoffs happened. We'll point all that
Jesus.
stuff out. But yeah, we're not gonna, we're not just sugarcoating it for the sake of sugarcoating it. It's because we genuinely believe, one, that there's a gray area that people are overlooking and just focusing on, how it impacts their wallet. And two, we like to give, both sides of the story. So that's all I'll say there. And it's a reason why I stopped listening to a lot of shows, and that also informs what I'm going to discuss, because it's like, hey, I don't like hearing people discuss X, Y, and Z, so now I'm going to voice an opinion that's opposite of that. So yeah, it's all genuine. It's all love. I got no more to say. You got any more, A-Dub?
No matter what they do, you don't have to buy it. You can just support the stuff you like. It's really that simple. Just support the stuff you like and help it stay around and stay alive for you as long as you can. Because that's the only recipe that really works. And that's where a lot of the positivity comes from. I just don't have time for things I don't like. There's no time for that. All I have is time for things I do like, things that make me feel good, things that form fond memories. Like that's what I'm about. And video games are an excellent means by which to do that. Granted, the content may vary. I have very fond memories of smashing the hordes of hell with my sledgehammer, but it's a fond memory nonetheless. I'm successful. I'm doing it. I'm doing it for my people, protecting and building, harvesting. Love video games, dude. I'll never stop. And I will never stop being positive about them until they give me a good enough reason not to be. There's a bunch of things one could be upset about. But there's also a lot more things that one could be happy about. I choose to focus on those. It's a much longer list, so that'll keep me busy.
Well, this is Control Issues.
We are Control Issues. Thanks for playing. Suckers.
Suckers.